How deep the Father's love for us, how vast beyond all measure, that He should give His only Son to make a wretched treasure. How great the pain of searing loss, the Father turns His face away, as wounds which mar the chosen one bring many sons to glory.
Behold the man upon a cross, my sin upon His shoulders. Ashamed I hear my mocking voice call out among the scoffers.
It was my sin that held Him there until it was accomplished. His dying breath has brought me life. I know that it is finished. I will not boast in anything, no gifts, no power, no wisdom, but I will boast in Jesus Christ, His death and resurrection. Why should I gain from His reward? I cannot give an answer, but this I know with all my heart, His wounds have paid my ransom. Why should I gain from His reward? I cannot give an answer, but this I know with all my heart, His wounds have paid my ransom. But this I know with all my heart, His wounds have paid my ransom.
Amen. Thank the Lord for that great singing. Amen. All the singing today has been really good, and I particularly enjoyed the offertory. It wasn't a song, but it was an instrumental, and I just want Sister Kirsten to know that that blessed me. And I enjoy hearing music, whether it be in song or with words, or whether it be instrumentals, just music that uplifts the Lord Jesus Christ. I just love to hear music that exalts our Lord and our Savior. He is worthy of all of our praise. Amen. On this Father's Day, there's a couple of things that I'd like to encourage you to do. Number one, if your earthly father is still alive, you ought to contact him. So I haven't contacted my earthly father in years, and maybe there's things going on that I know little about. But I'd like for you to consider contacting him today. And if nothing else, let him know you're thinking of him and you're praying for him. Perhaps you could tell him you love him and you thank God for him. I don't know. I don't know the situation between you and your earthly dad. But you do, and God does. And you ought to at least acknowledge the fact that it's Father's Day. and in some way contact him and let him know, even if it's nothing, to let him know I'm praying for you. I think it'd be a good testimony to you as a Christian. Then second of all, you ought to go before your Heavenly Father, if you haven't already been before him this morning, and tell him you're grateful that he's your Heavenly Father. He took you in when the world had cast you out. He seated you at the right hand of all of the goodness. We're seated together in heavenly places, brethren. It's a wonderful thing to be a child of God. And God is so good to us. And I thank God for being my Heavenly Father. When I began to think about the message, I'd already had a message prepared about Noah and the father that he was. And then Wednesday night, I heard the men singing that song. And it put my mind to thinking about some of the good patriarchs, some of the good men of the Bible. And as I began to do a little word study on the word father and fathers, of course we know what the noun of a word father, but the verb of the word father means this. It means the founder, to be the foundation, to author. And I think that says a lot about why God calls the man the father. The father. We talk about the founders or the fathers, the founding fathers of our country. We talk about fathers of certain systems or certain institutions. Today we're going to talk about a man by the name of Stephen. And as he began to review the history of his nation, he went to a group of fathers that he could look to, a group of men that he could call them by name and say, they impacted my life. How did they impact your life, Stephen? That I'm willing to give my life for the God they believed in. I'm willing to stand and to say whether people like it or don't like it. I'm willing to stand and say where I stand on this matter of God and His Word. You know the story of Stephen, who became the first Christian martyr. And as we look at Acts chapter number 7, there's something that I never noticed before until I got my concordance out. I began to read down through this chapter, and I never noticed it in all these years as preaching God's Word and being a Christian, reading the Bible. And I want to point out something to you today and then give you just a few simple truths that I hope, and I believe that it will, help every father. And not just every father, but every man, every person that is under the sound of my voice this morning. Acts chapter number 7 is about many things. But if there's one thing that stands head and shoulders above all the rest, I don't think it can be denied. It's about the impact that fathers can make on their families, on a nation, on a world. Notice if you would, and I'm just going to run through these, so you follow along quickly and I'll run quickly, okay? Notice if you would in chapter 7 and verse number 2, and he said, men, brethren, and fathers. The God of glory appeared unto our father. Look over now, if you would, in verse number 4. Then came he out of the land of the Chaldeans and dwelt in Charan, and from thence when his father. If you go on down into verse number 11, right at the end of that verse it says, and our fathers found no sustenance. In verse number 12 of Acts chapter 7, the last sentence there says, he sent out our fathers first. Verse number 14, then sent Joseph and called his father Jacob to him. Verse number 15, so Jacob went down into Egypt and died, he and our fathers. Verse number 16, the last part of that verse says, the fathers of Shechem. Verse number 19, the Bible says, the same dealt subtlety with our kindred, and evil entreated our fathers. Verse number 20, the last sentence in that verse says, and nourished up in his father's house 3 months. Look, if you would, in verse number 32, saying, I am the God of thy fathers. Verse number 38, the last sentence says, and with our fathers who receive the lively oracles to give unto us. Verse 39, to whom our fathers, verse 44, our fathers, verse 45, which also our fathers, and it ends, verse number 45, unto the days, before the face of our fathers, unto the days of David. Look, if you would, in verse number 51, as your fathers did, verse 52, which of the prophets have not your fathers persecuted? What's Stephen talking about? He's talking about fathers. Amen. Today we're going to talk a little bit about fathers. They're important people. If you'll read this sermon in its entirety, you'll find that's really the message that Stephen is conveying unto a group of people who had forgotten the faith of their fathers, the Pharisees and the scribes. A bunch of religious people who had taken the very truths that their fathers had preserved to hand down, and they have set those truths aside, and they have set up commandments of men, what they wanted instead of the truths that their fathers had passed down. Now, in given the history of the nation that was formed so that we might have the Bible, and if you'll read that, that's exactly what it's saying, and that we might have the Christ, the Lord Jesus, so we might have redemption, he began to call out people by name. And I want to give you just four of them. I want you to underline them. Look, if you would, in verse number 2. He said, "Men, brethren, and fathers, hearken. The God of glory appeared unto our father Abraham." Would you underline that word in your Bible? This man left us something. He left an example as a father. And I want to talk to you about it a little bit this morning, just for a little bit. We're not going to talk in depth about Abraham, but I want to give you something that I believe that Stephen was trying to relay unto his hearers this day. Something about Abraham that he wanted not only his hearers then, but God canonized this. He preserved it. He put it in his word because he wanted us to hear about it today and every day. God wanted us to know about this particular aspect of the life of Abraham. Then move down in verse number 9, and it says, "And the patriarchs, moved with envy, sowed Joseph." And we talked about this last week. They sowed Joseph into Egypt, but God was with him. Now here's another father. It's actually Abraham's great-grandson. But he was a father, and he left an example. He left something that I want to talk to you about. Now he left many things, but there was one overriding aspect, characteristic of Joseph's life that Stephen hones in on in this message. And then if you'll move on down into verse number 20, you'll see it says, "In which time Moses was born." And so he moves from Abraham to Joseph to Moses. And then in verse number 45, at the latter part of that verse, he mentions David. Now here's four fathers that are mentioned, and what men of God they were, what examples they were. And when you study their lives, certainly you see the good, you see the bad, you see the ugly. You see all about these men's lives. And that's one thing about the Scripture that I appreciate. The honesty of the Scripture. How that God will tell us not only the good things that a man does, but he'll tell us about his shortcomings. So that we not only can learn from the good that a man does, but we can learn from the mistakes that he makes. And God tells us the whole story about these individuals. But today, we're not going to look at the whole story. We're just going to look at these four men as fathers and some things that they left to you and I as fathers. What are we to learn from these men? You know, Brother David's mentioned it, and I'm sure that you've thought about it today. I know I have. I thought about it some yesterday as I was in my study and I was just reflecting back over my life. The people that God has put in the pathway of my life, that have impacted my life in a positive way, that were hard on me when I needed someone to be hard on me. And yes, it's good for someone to be hard on you. I'm going to say that again. It's good for somebody to be hard on you and to hold you accountable and to get you going sometimes when you don't want to get going. I said to somebody this week, you know, you don't seem to be the kind of person that likes somebody staying behind you and to press you to make the right decision. But I want to assure you That you do not want to always rely on your decision alone. Always be willing to have somebody behind you and say, are you sure this is the decision you want to make? Are you sure this is the direction that you're going to take? Are you sure this is the thing that you're going to do? There's nothing wrong with someone standing behind us, holding us accountable, and holding our feet to the fire, so to speak, to ensure that we've thought this matter through. Say amen with me. Amen. Now, I thank God for people like that in my life. Now, I want to say this. At the time, I wasn't very pleased with it. At the time, I wasn't very pleased with much of the instruction and much of the counsel that I received. But over the years, God has used this counsel and God has used these men in my life to mold me and to make me into what I am today by the grace of God. And I don't think that there's anybody here today that could not look back over their life and thank God for someone who held them accountable when it came to doing the right thing, even though it was the hard thing. Now, here's a group of men. And when I look at their lives, let's start with Abraham, and I want to give you one word for each man that I have looked and I thought, you know, that I believe that's what Stephen's trying to tell us. And I think the first word when I look at Abraham is faith. Now, why do you say that, preacher? Well, I want you to look with me. Now, we know that Abraham is the father of the faithful. But I think of the faith of Abraham. And when I read down through here, I see that when in verse number 3, that God said unto him, you see that? Look at verse number 3 of Acts chapter 7. God said unto him, now he didn't tell Abraham to do something easy. He told him to do something hard. Now I'm here to tell you this morning that sometimes God will tell me and tell you to do the hard thing. Man. The Christian life, well, let's just set aside that for a moment. Life in itself is not always easy. There's going to be some hard things about life. There's going to be some hard decisions, some hard places. And I thank God for times when God comes to us and he says, I want you to do the hard thing. Look at what it says in verse 3. He said, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred. Now, brethren, that was not an easy thing. It is on this side when I'm reading it. Amen. It's when I'm reading it about somebody else, it's pretty easy. But when God comes to me and says, hey, I want you to do something, and it's not going to be very easy, but I'm counting on you to do it. I'm counting on you to trust me, to take my word and do it. Brethren, I tell you, that's when the rubber meets the road. What did God tell Abraham to do? He said, I want you to get out from your country. I want you to uproot and move your family. I thought about some families here today. You did just that very thing. You uprooted your family and brought them right here. Some of you left a place of ease and you came to a place where you knew that you were going to hear straight Bible preaching. It was going to move you from your comfort zone. It was going to challenge you to go beyond. It was going to hold your feet to the fire. I thank God for people who are willing to get out of their comfort zone and follow God's voice. Notice what Abraham did in verse number 4. Then came he out. Boy, I like that. See, Abraham just responded to God's word. God said, Abraham, get out. You know what Abraham did? He got out. Let me ask you just for a moment to turn to Hebrews chapter number 11. Would you do that? In Hebrews 11, we find the record of this, where God had told this man Abraham, he said, I want you to leave your country and your kindred. And I want you to go to a place. Well, where's that, God? He said, you just go. I'll show you as you go. So, well, I've got an inheritance here from my father. He said, well, I've got an inheritance for your children. You just go. I've got a seed that I'm going to give you. You just go and you follow my word. And that's exactly what Abraham did. Now, I'm going to tell you what we need today. I believe this with all of my heart. I believe that if fathers would follow God and say, God, I take your word as being final authority. Whatever you say, God, by your strength and with your grace, God, I'm going to do it. It may not be popular in the world. There may be people shake their head and say it can't be done. There may be people say he's a fool, like they did in Noah's day, like they did no doubt with Abraham as he traveled, not knowing where he was going. But brethren, what we need today is some fathers that will display great faith in their lives. Just say, God said it. I'm acting on what God said. Amen. What you going on, preacher? I'm going on what God said.
Amen.
Amen. You know, I think about what's happened here at Fellowship Baptist Church. When you come to a church, they say, well, you know, that it'll never happen there. Well, God's filled this building up. That happened. Why? Because we believe God. Well, you can't preach the Bible and fill a building up anymore. You can't entertain them, preacher. Now, we're going to preach the Bible. God will fill the building up. See, I'm not trying to fill this building up. I'm not. I want to be obedient to God. God will fill the building up. See, that's God's responsibility. See, we just have to act on what God said. Well, we're going to build an annex building. How are you going to do that? We're going to trust God. God said do it. By the grace of God, we're going to do it. Amen. Well, we're going to buy some property. What you going to do over there? We're going to build God's vision over there. That's what we're going to do. Why? Because God said so. God said do it. Well, it's a little risky. Hey, if it's not risky, there's no faith involved. Somebody say amen with me now. How are we going to do what Abraham did if we never take a risk? You think Abraham knew where he was going? No. But he went. Why? God said go.
Amen.
Go. If you settle and never get out on a ledge, hear me now, if you never get out on a ledge for God, if you never put it on the line for God, you'll never know what it is to live by faith.
Amen.
Sometimes you just got to go with God. You say, well, preacher, the wind's blowing in the contrary direction. You just go with God. Just stick with God. Amen.
Amen.
Dads, there'll be times that maybe other people be saying, well, you're too hard, or you're too strict, or you're too this and you too that. Listen, that's okay as long as you're too much like God.
Amen.
You just be like God.
Amen.
Let them say what they will. And I'm not talking about being some fool now. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about sticking with the truths of this book right here.
Amen.
That's what Abraham did. Hebrews 11, are you there? Look, if you would, with me in Hebrews 11, just for a moment. Look down at verse number 8. Hebrews 11, verse number 8, the Bible says, by faith, there it is. There's our word. There's our man. By faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should have to receive for an inheritance, he obeyed and went out, not knowing whither he went. By faith, he sojourned in the land of promise as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob and the heirs with him of the same promise. For he looked for a city which hath foundation, whose builder and maker is God. Now, that's the kind of fathers we need right there. And I believe that there's fathers sitting on the sound of my voice that are just like this. Now, some of us, we're still growing and we're still learning. But that doesn't mean that we don't have this faith and it hasn't just reached its full fruition yet. It hasn't reached its full caliber, its full potential. But God has planted the seed that was in Abraham, that seed of faith, in the hearts of many of the dads that sit under the sound of my voice this morning. You say, well, preacher, I've never done anything like this. Listen, God grows your faith now. God will ask you to do a small thing. And if you'll be faithful with that small thing and you'll be obedient in that small task, God will give you a greater task. God will give you a greater task. I want you to turn to Romans before we turn back to the book of Acts. Turn to Romans chapter 4 and then we'll move on to Joseph. This is something, when I read this passage of scripture in Romans 4, there's really only one thing to say, and that's wow. I mean, when I read it, you're talking about the wow factor. There's very few places in the scripture that you can read that you'll just, I mean, it just makes you kind of step back and say, wow, that is something. We're talking about faith, fathers, Abraham, the impact, the footprint that he made. We have people that are in the rock industry, the rock music industry, the rap music industry, the country music industry. They say, well, I want to leave my footprint on the earth. Would to God that some Christians would have that mentality. I want to leave a footprint on this earth. I want to leave a legacy to my children, to my grandchildren, my great-grandchildren. I want to leave something they can hold on to and say, my father, my grandfather, my great-grandfather, my preacher, his faith, his God is real. He's worth serving. Amen. Romans chapter number 4, what shall we say then that Abraham our father, as pertaining to the flesh, hath found? I'm in Romans 4 verse 2. For if Abraham were justified by works, he hath whereof to glory, but not before God. This is one of my favorite sayings in all the Bible, for what saith the scripture? Well, what a saying. What's the Bible say? That's what we need to get concerned about. What saith the scripture? Abraham believed God, and it was counted unto him for righteousness. Now, I want you to notice it didn't say Abraham believed in God. He believed what God said, and God said, I'm accounting that. I'm putting that to your account for righteousness. Look down, if you would, in verse number 17. Verse number 16 talks about Abraham, who was the father of us all. You see that? Verse number 16, the latter part of verse 16. It says, the faith of Abraham, which is the father of us all. Now here it goes. You're getting ready to be wowed by God's word. Look at it. As it is written, I have made thee a father of many nations, before whom he believed, even God, who quickeneth the dead, and calleth those things which be not as though they were. Now that's God, brethren. That's God. Abraham said, I believe God can do that. Look at verse number 18. It's picking up. Who against hope believed in hope. Boy, I like that. Doesn't look like it's any way it's going to happen, Abraham. He said, well, it's going to happen. Why? God said so. Well, the weathermen said it's going to do this. God said, you just keep on going, Abraham. Well, you know, the scientists say this. You just keep on trusting God, Abraham. Well, some of those liberal preachers say this. You just keep on trusting God, Abraham. Fathers, listen to me. Just keep trusting God. Just keep trusting God's word. Amen. Who against hope believed in hope, that he might become the father of many nations, according to that which was spoken, so shall thy seed be. And being not weak in faith, my, what a statement. And being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body now dead, when he was about 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully persuaded that what he had promised, he was able also to perform. Wow! That's what I think when I read that. Wow! What a testimony! What a man of faith! What a father! What a man to look up to! Hey, my dad, he believes what God says he's able to do. What a testimony! You say, oh, preacher, I want my son to be this, and I want my son to see me that. I want my son to think I'm a hero. Listen, if my sons and my daughters grow up believing my dad is a man of faith, that's the greatest thing that could happen to me as a father. Amen. You too. Amen. Faith, right. Brethren, faith. Yeah. Abraham, turn back to Acts chapter number 7. Faith. Dad, let your children see faith in you. Give you a couple of quick quotes here. Hudson Taylor said, unless there is an element of risk in our exploits for God, there is no need for faith. Hudson Taylor now, great missionary to China. You stepping out there by faith? Now, I'm not talking about foolishness now. Don't get it mixed up. Faith is based on a promise from God's word. You're stepping out there by faith. You're following God's word by faith. And then this is what David Livingstone said. He had gone to Africa. He was opening up that continent for God, and many people were gaining interest, and the world was watching, and many people in England wrote the mission board, and the mission board wrote and said, we have folks who would like to join you. What's the easiest way to get where you are? And he wrote back, and he said, if they're looking for the easiest road, tell them to stay in England. Amen. I'm not looking for people that's looking for the easiest way. I'm looking for people that's looking for a way, even if they have to make a way. So here's a man. And God told him to do something hard. You know what he did? By faith, he did it. God, give me that faith. God give you that faith. God help us to act on that kind of faith. Now, it's not going to happen by coming to church on a hit and a miss. It's not going to happen by tipping God instead of tithing. It's not going to happen if you're not a soul winner. Listen to me now. These things go together. It's not going to happen if you don't have a heart for the church and a heart for people and a heart for sinners. It's not going to happen. Abraham. Then number two, Joseph. Here's the word I want you to write down. Fortitude. You say, what's that word mean? I'm glad you asked. I just so happened to look it up. The word fortitude, listen to me. Here it is. Strength of mind, character, morals, resilience. Boy, I tell you, that's something we need. Resilience. Firmness of purpose. Firmness of purpose. Endurance. Joseph. What do you know about Joseph? You think everything was smooth sailing for him? Well, preacher, if we do the hard thing, we'll just wind up the promised land like old Abraham. Well, you got to know something about the life of Abraham. That's not the way it happened. But we're talking about Joseph now. As fathers, we ought to teach our children like Abraham to act on God's word. If God said it, son, follow it. If God said it, do it. Amen? If God said don't do it, don't do it. I don't care how much money they're going to pay you to work on Sunday. God said don't do it, don't do it. Amen. Well, I'll make double time, time and a half, triple time. God said don't do it, don't do it. It's the Lord's day. What about it, Joseph? I'm going to do it God's way and everything's going to work out my way. What's God want me as a father to teach my sons and daughters? Sometimes life doesn't work out the way you think it's going to work out. Sometimes your dreams are going to be shattered. Sometimes your hopes are going to be crushed. Sometimes it's just not going to go the way that you planned it to go. As Joseph did when he said, I saw them falling down, making obeisance to me. Didn't work out that way for Joseph, did it? It didn't. So what are you going to do, quit? They had a preacher preach something I didn't agree with. I think I'll just quit church. You'll never set the right example with that attitude. Well, things didn't go my way down to plan. I think I'll just quit. You'll never get ahead in life with that attitude. Never. Joseph, trying to do the right thing. His own family turned against him. There's great lessons to learn from this man. Great lessons. His own family turned against him. Well, my family's against me. I think I'll just quit. He didn't quit. He didn't quit. Well, this is not working out down here in Potiphar's house. I think I'll just quit. He didn't quit. Well, I didn't think he'd forget me when he got out of prison. I think I'll just quit. He didn't quit. Joseph had fortitude. He had fight. He wasn't going to give up. And don't you give up either, Dad. I was just telling some folks, I forgot who it was, before the service. And many dads and moms will remember this when your children were smaller. You tell them, what do you say? Thank you. And then after about the 500th time, you're thinking, now wait a minute here. Do they know these words? What do you say? Thank you. What do you say? You're welcome. What do you say? Yes, sir. And then, I need you to do this. Yes. Nope. What do you say? Yes, sir. And then right when you think, this is not going to happen. I done beat this kid to, you know, they're getting ready to call social services in here. This is not going to take. Guess what happens? You're standing on the other side of the room and somebody says something, they say thank you, and you go, whoa, wait a minute, was that my kid? Amen. Right? You can't quit. Joseph didn't quit. And you read the life of Joseph and he didn't give up. He had some fortitude. And so as Abraham, as Stephen was preaching this message, he said, as fathers, we need to be like Abraham in our faith. If God said it, if God promised it, stand on it. Stand on it. Say, well, you know, it's not looking very good if I do. Well, you stand on it anyway. If God said it, brethren. If God said it. I mean, we live in a day when people think they can just pick and choose what they want to accept about God's word. That's not so. It's not going to work out for you now. I'm telling you. You want to be a good father? You want to leave a legacy? You want to impact some people's lives? You got to stick with God now. All of it, not just the parts you like. You say, preacher, is there anything in the Bible that you don't like? Well, I don't know about that, but I'll tell you this. God's asked me to do some things I didn't like. He has. You say, you do it? Well, that's none of your business. Sometimes I do, sometimes I don't. Faith, fortitude, Joseph. So, well, it didn't work out the way I thought it was going to work out. I think I'm just going to give up, preacher. And if that's the only reason you're doing it so it'll work out for you, it's probably not going to work out. Joseph didn't do right because he thought it was going to work out for him. Joseph did right because it was in his character to do right. I want to teach my children to do the same. How about you? Amen? Then we move over to another man. Not only was there Joseph, who teaches us that life doesn't always turn out the way that we expect or the way we want it to, that sometimes even good guys lose and fail, whether it be a job or a position. There's hard times. But you got to get up and dust off and move on. Right? Moses, look if you would in verse number 20. It says, in which time Moses was born. And it begins to give us some things about Moses. What do you know about Moses? I know that Moses, it started out, and you go read this, you've read it before, go read it again, where he looked out and he saw these two Hebrews. You know, and at first he saw this Egyptian roughing up on some Hebrews. And so he went, he intervened, and he killed one of them. Right? You read that? Trying to help the Hebrew people out, his own people. Well, a little later on, there were two Hebrews fussing, and he went over and he said, "Hey, fellas," he said, "y'all are brethren." He said, "y'all don't need to be doing this." And he said, "what are you going to do, kill us like you did that Egyptian?" Wow. You know, a lot of gratitude you have. What's Moses teach us? All through his life, watch it, people were unthankful. Man trying to help them find God's will, find God's place in their life, and all they did was complain and grumble against him. You see, as a father, I want to teach my children, not everybody's your friend. Not everybody has your best interest in mind. Not everybody wants to go with your plan. But that doesn't mean that you hate them. That doesn't mean that you write them off. Now listen carefully to me. Those first two were kind of easy. Faith, fortitude. But this one's forgiveness. See, these people left Moses hung out to dry over and over again. You know what he did? He fell on his face before the God of heaven and said, "God, please forgive them. God, if you're gonna write them off, write me off." Right? Hey, we've got to teach our children that just because people don't do the way we want them to do and act the way we want them to act, that doesn't mean that we're through with them. God still wants to use you to impact their lives. Well, they don't do it the way we do it. Well, it's not important if they do it the way we do it. It's important that they do it the way God said do it. Well, they don't do it the way God said do it. Well, did you at one time in your life? But people got involved and helped and brought you to that place. And God wants me to do the same, and God wants you to do the same. And so we have to teach our children now. Listen to me. We have to teach our children there is a stern side. All right? But there's also a gentle side. There's a side that confronts and says, "Hey, this is wrong." And Moses certainly did that. He ground up that golden calf and made them drink it, and when he put it in water, I'd say that's pretty confrontational. Amen? But he had a compassionate side too. He fell on his face before God and said, "God, spare them. God, these are your people." Right? See, when Stephen brought up Moses, he's saying, "Now, fathers, listen to me. It's okay to be stern, but there's got to be a gentle side to you also. It's okay to confront, and it's okay to call sin and to name it and to confront people about it. But now, you've got to have compassion on people too. And you've got to love people where they are. Not everybody's going to be where you want them to be. And that should not stop you or I from ministering to them. I thank God it didn't stop people from ministering to me. I'd still been left back there. But people took me under their wing nonetheless, and they said, "You know what? It's not important that he's not where I want him to be. He's where he is, and I want to help him to get where God wants him to be." And Moses did that. And he led them right up to the brink of the promised land. Right up to the brink with a forgiving heart, a gentleness, a forgiveness. So here's the third before we get to our final thing. Are you writing them down now? Fathers, teach your children to have the faith of Abraham. You say, "Well, there's no way my son can have the faith of Abraham." Not with that attitude, there's not. Teach your children to have faith, to rely on God's word, to believe what God said. Not just some of it, what you agree with or what you want to do, but God's word. If God said it, it's so, brethren. And we ought to act on it. We ought to believe that what God has promised, He's able to perform. Amen? Number two, dads, let's teach our children to have fortitude like Joseph. You ever felt like quitting, preacher? Sure I have. And then I remembered who was watching me. I didn't want my children to see their dad be a quitter. Because I know that once you begin to quit, it becomes easier to do with each thing you quit. When I was in 11th grade, I was told, you might as well quit school. You don't ever go. You don't listen when you're there. My grandmother got wind of it. And I'm glad that she did. She said, don't you quit. You're not a quitter. And if you begin to quit things, you will become a quitter. And before anybody could ever label you a quitter, you've got to quit. So don't quit, and you won't be labeled a quitter. Pretty good speech from an elderly lady. Worked for me. I didn't quit. You say, what'd you learn those final 2 years? I didn't quit. Maybe I'm speaking to a dad here today. You're discouraged. I don't know. You say, I've done all I know to do, preacher. I've prayed. I've tried to do what's right. And I just feel like quitting. Let me encourage you. Please don't quit. Don't quit. That's not going to help anything. It's really not. Look to Abraham and Joseph, but mainly look at Moses. He didn't quit. He didn't quit. When people turned against him, even in his own family, you read where his brother Aaron and his sister spoke out against him for the choice he made in a wife. Read it now in the book of Numbers. Now, God took care of it, but Moses didn't quit. He actually interceded on their behalf and asked God to remove the leprosy from him. You know why? Because he had a gentle heart. He was forgiving. Yes, people will make you angry. Yes, people will do you wrong, Dad. And it's okay for your children to see you get upset and get angry about that, but they should not have to watch you grow bitter because of it. You should learn what it is to forgive and move on. Forgive and move on. Your children are watching. My children are watching. It's very important. Finally, we've seen the faith of Abraham, the fortitude of Joseph. We've seen the forgiveness of Moses. Then look, if you would, in verse number 45. It spoke about David. I struggled with this one a little bit. Because David's life is just so multifaceted. There's so many things going on. But then I thought about this. The one thing that kept coming back to my mind as I was asking God, God, give me something that I could relate to the people here. Give me something, Lord, that I could help the people to see about this man David. And this is what came to my heart. He's a man after my own heart. Faithfulness. You know, if God is nothing else, and he's all that and then some, he's everything to me. Can I say that God's a faithful God? God is faithful, brethren. You know, Saul, he chased David around like an animal. He prolonged, in David's eyes, many things. Now, in God's timing, it was all in perfect timing. But David was running here and there and always with his life on the line. Before Saul and Jonathan went down, David made a promise to Jonathan. He said, I'll take care of your family. I'm going to watch after your family. There was a day when David was sitting in his palace. And he remembered that promise. He said, hey, and he sent his servants down. You ought to read it sometime in 2 Samuel. He said, I want you to go down. He said, I want you to see if there's any of the offspring, the lineage of Jonathan, of Saul, still alive. And I want you to bring them to me that I may show them favor for God's sake and for Jonathan's sake. He wanted to keep his word. Amen. You know the story how they went down in the land of Lodabar and they found old Mephibosheth. You've read that story, I hope. If you haven't, you ought to read it. It's something else now. And you have to remember what happened here. These people, listen, the king chased him around, made many attempts on taking his life. This is real life now. I'm not talking about some Hollywood movie now. This was real. Trying to run the man through with a spear, throwing things at him. I mean, just coming after him, deceiving him. And yet he had the faithfulness in his heart to say, you know what, I made that man a promise and I'm going to keep it. I gave him my word and I'm going to stand by my word. He said, who's left in Saul's house? Jonathan, that I may show him favor. And they said, well, you got Mephibosheth down here. And they brought him in. He treated him like a king. He didn't sit him at the guest table, brethren. He sit him at the family table. You read it. What's that teaching? Faithfulness. You tell somebody you're going to do something, do it. Amen. I don't like it. Things have changed since I said I was going to do it. But that shouldn't change you doing it. If you said you was going to do it, do it. You say, well, that's not always easy. Life's not always easy. We ought to learn to be men of our word. Teach our children. You say you're going to do something, do it. I think these are four good men to pattern our lives over, don't you? I do. It ought to make it required reading for every father. Read this chapter. It'll help you, Dad. It helped me when I was looking over it. I thought, I failed. And God reminded me. No, you haven't. Because failure doesn't have to be final. The story's not complete. The final chapter hasn't been written. Keep fathering. Keep grandfathering. Leave a legacy. Leave a footprint. For good. For God. Let's all stand to our feet.